Well, amen. It's good to be here. If you weren't here for Sunday school, we talked about the ministry in Ecuador, and you can follow us online at moreforecuador.com. We have a prayer letter back in the foyer there. A lot of people try to spell Ecuador with a Q. It's with a C, E-C-U-A-D-O-R. As your pastor mentioned, we have much to celebrate with our country's independence, but so much more with our spiritual independence. Amen. I've never served in our military. I sat in an office when I was 18 years old, thinking about joining, but God had different plans. I didn't get saved till a little later on when I was 22 years old. Saved me out of a life of drugs and alcohol, immorality, man that was full of hatred and full of himself. And God has gloriously changed my life into who I am today. But nonetheless, He still sent me on a mission. Amen. As we think about our independence this day and the freedoms we have, as your pastor mentioned, when you go to another country, you see how limited their freedoms are. I truly love America. We were driving in the van the other day listening to a little kid's praise CD with some hymns on it, and on came America the Beautiful. And I started tearing up in my eyes, and I couldn't understand why, and I'm thinking, this has really affected me, living overseas for a year, a little over a year. And so I'm glad that my family has had these it'll be in totality 6 weeks to spend back here before we go back. We do know what we're going back to, so please pray for us that the Lord's grace would be sufficient as it has been, and that He would bless our efforts on the field. There's a lot of work that needs to be done. If you'll take your Bible this morning, please turn to 1 Samuel chapter 30. I'd like to look at some parallels here with these soldiers of God who were fighting with David and for David there, and liken it to our mission that we have. This is not a patriotic message. This is a message that I pray will challenge you and encourage you in your life's mission, in seeking to save that which is lost, in giving of your time and talents and your treasure to a greater cause, to worldwide missions. Young men, that you would give your lives in complete surrender to His will, to be used in His service, in His army. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, if you can, we'll stand and read the first six verses. 1 Samuel chapter 30, there is more to this passage of Scripture that we'll cover, but the first six verses read like this. 1 Samuel chapter 30, by the way, this is my second time preaching without a translator in over a year and a half. It's very different. I almost forgot how to preach, because with a translator, you can only say so many words, then you have to stop. And then you can hit a few more words and you lose your train of thought, and it's just, it's very different. So pray for me that I won't be so rusty here. 1 Samuel chapter 30, the Bible says in verse 1, "And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Let's do two more verses here. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor. And we'll stop there with our reading. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. We're going to preach a message this morning entitled, On a Mission. Father in heaven, thank you this morning for the opportunity to preach the Word of God. Lord, I pray that you would speak clearly and concisely through me. Lord, that the Spirit of God would take these feeble words that I say and encourage and challenge and convict the hearts of men, women, and children here in this sanctuary. That your will would be accomplished in their lives as they yield their life over to thee. Father, you have a mission for us, just as you had for David. There's those that are captive and in bondage that need to be set free. I pray that you would help us to do that. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, who makes this all possible, who saved our never-dying soul from eternal hellfire, who's given us a new life, a peace, a purpose, and a joy. I ask, Father, that he would be magnified this morning. Bless us now for what we hear and the time we spend in your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Here we're going to see that these men were on a mission. The Bible says in verse 5 that they were going after that which has been taken captive. And as we make parallels here to our life as Christian individuals and to the sinner man, the sinner has been taken captive, the Bible says. He's held by the snares of the devil in his own sin. They've been taken captive by him at his will. They need to be set free. Man is captive. Listen, this morning, if you've ever been saved, you knew what it was like to be held captive in your sins. You knew what it was like to be lost and dead in trespasses and sins and needing a source outside of yourself to free you. You needed to hear the Word of God and you needed to respond by faith. Well, it's our job as Christian individuals to go after them, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, to be witnesses for Him. The devil's territory is where we run, storming the gates of hell with the Word of God and the power of the Lord. You see, we read a little further on, verse 7 and 8, that David sought the Lord's will. He heeded the word from the Lord to go, just as you and I receive our marching orders from the Word of God. We are to go. Young men, you are to go. Old men, you are to go. Children, we are to pray to go. It grieved him, it says in verse 6, to know their state. And it should grieve us. And as he wept sore, we should weep sore for those that are still lost and dead in trespasses and sins. It's not, they should not be. What's the word I'm looking for? It's not a problem for us. It's a blessing for us and a privilege for us to take the gospel to them. And it grieved him. The world had them. The devil had them. And he responded to the need. And think about those that were taken captive. Sometimes, until their conscience is awakened, they don't even realize that they're captive. And they're just in sin. And they don't recognize that they're lost and that they need a Savior. They need to be found. And David had to go free them. Some that have been awakened to their sin, their conscience has condemned them, and they realize that they need help. Where are they going to go for that help? Who is going to bring them that help? Who is going to share with them the wonderful words of life that can save them from their sin and save them for time and eternity? It's our responsibility. It's our job. We have heard the gospel call to go. But now it's time to act. By faith, with the power of the Lord, with His promises behind us. Look here in verse 8. When David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them?" And He answered him, "Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all." Amen. All that come to the Lord Jesus Christ, He will lose none of them. Amen. He had the promise of God on His side, just as you and I have the promise of God on our side, that if we go forth bearing precious seed, weeping, we shall return, bringing in the sheaves. Amen. If we go forth weepeth bearing precious seed, we shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing our sheaves with us. Jesus gave us the promise, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Whether it's Ecuador, whether it's Africa, whether it's China, Indonesia, Papua New Guinea, the Northwest Territories up in Canada, He'll be with us. Look at verse 10. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor. You see, he went no matter the cost. He pursued after them. It rested upon him. This was his responsibility to go after them and to return all that were taken captive. And the responsibility is ours. Though we may be faint, and though we may be tired, and though we may have other things to do, what is the greatest thing we can do? His eye was single and it was set upon a goal, just as ours should be, of winning those that were lost. And yes, he may have to endure hardness, just like you and I, but God's called us to be soldiers in this army on this mission to endure hardness. He went risking his life, but God was with him. And we may go at times risking our life, but we have the promises. A little further on, look in verse 17 with me. We didn't read these passages here, these verses. It says, "And David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day. And there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men, which rode upon camels and fled." Verse 18, "And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil, nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all." You see, he would go all night if necessary. He would fight the battle, and so should we. Our Lord went for us all night long. When He went to Calvary's cross, after He was beaten and mocked and ridiculed and smote upon, and then the crown of thorns placed upon His head, nails in His hands and in His feet. Listen to the battle cry, Christian. It's time. We have liberty here to go. Some don't have that liberty. We have liberty to go no matter the cost. Souls are dying. They're held captive. We have the promises and the precept and the power to deliver them by the Word of God. But yet they still sit in darkness waiting for the light of the gospel. How will they hear? I think of my Spanish teacher, 42 years old, I think. Never heard these truths that I shared with him. It was so sad. He asked me one day, "How do I pray? Can I?" He thought he had to go to the sanctuary and repeat the rosary. No, you can pray right here where you're at. And you can ask God to help you and God to speak to your heart. And you can be saved. People don't know the gospel like we have been blessed in this land with the gospel. You just spend any time on the mission field and you'll see how great America is to have the Bible as its foundation. It permeates throughout all of our culture in the way we act and think. In these foreign lands, it's not like that. God needs men who are willing to go. David was willing to go. The men that were with him were willing to go. Are you willing to go? Where are the men? Where are the laborers? Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his field, into his harvest. Isaiah 6:8 says, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me." Where are you this morning? Here am I, send me. I'm willing to go, preacher. I'm willing to leave house and land. I'm willing to forsake family to go to a faraway place where people can hear the gospel. I'm willing to go to set the captives free. I'm willing to endure the hardness for my Lord Jesus Christ. People are too caught up today. They're too busy. Their mind's somewhere else. It's time to get it back onto the main thing. Amen. And so as we look at our obligation to fulfill the Great Commission, we can go or we can give. We can send others or we can be sent ourselves. We can work abroad, we can work at home. Either or, we must do something. We must do something. Locally, gospel tracts, testimony, invites. Foreign fields, going, telling. Staying home and praying. Working hard on your job and giving extra to missions. God has commanded and we must obey. There is a war going on and we're in the Lord's army. He has called us to be soldiers. It's time to line up. Yes, sir. Here am I. Some of us were too entangled to fight. Turn with me. Keep your place in 1 Samuel. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We have so much. And the things that we have begun to entangle us to where we're not free to do what the Lord would have us to do. Whether with our time or our treasure. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 3 and 4, the Bible says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." This is for you and I. Though you may have never served, you're serving now, amen. You have rank and file. Line up. You have a commander. Obey. You have your marching orders. Verse 4. "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." How do we please him? By faith. What is faith? Acting in accordance with what his word says. So let's please him. So let's break away those things that are entangling us. Let's get our priorities right. And let's focus because time is running out. I was just talking to the gentleman in the back before service. 63 years old, he said, it's just gone like that. I'm 38 years old. Had a birthday last month. And I don't know why these thoughts are coming in my head. But it's just like, what have you done? If you live to 80, you're halfway done. If I live to 80, what if I only live to 60 or 70? Have my priorities been right? Have I yielded my life over to His will? Have I responded to Him? Time is running out. Don't take it for granted. It says a vapor, it appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Boast not yourself of the morrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Let us not cry out, I wish I had given him more. But give it to him now. The things that we're involved in, if it's taking us away from the work and will of God, it's time to repent and make those wrongs right. No man that worth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Lord, if I can just please you, what will thou have me to do? If ye love me, keep my commandments. We need to fight the good fight of faith, amen. To be an effective army, we need soldiers on the field, in the front line, and soldiers back at base. Both are vital to success. Yes, I understand that not everyone is called to go, but you should listen for that call, amen, and not think that it's above you or below you to go to the mission field. Few go to the front lines, more stay at base, but they both work together. Both are necessary. Go back to our text of Scripture, please, in 1 Samuel 30. The Bible said here that 600 men, in verse 9, came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. Verse 10, but David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor. You see, some stayed behind. Some tarried by the stuff. Some needed to be able to send supplies and communication to the front line for those that were in the front of the battle. Let's look at these soldiers in the front line. Those who have crossed land and sea in obedience to the call to go and preach the gospel to those that are in darkness. Remember, these people are dying and going to hell. Yes. They need you. They need me. You are needed this morning to work. Christ is willing. Whosoever will. How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? You see, for the congregation this morning, what is your answer? Time is running out. We need to work, for the night is coming. There is billions that are in darkness. Billions. Our town of El Quinche is only about 16,000. And it almost seems overwhelming of a task. Up on the mountain, there's probably 1,500 in that one community. There's other communities around. It seems like such a large task. Think of India and China, or what they call the 1040 window, where 4 of the 6 billion people live on planet Earth. They need to hear the gospel. It's the most unevangelized area in the world. Say, God, use me. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look, the fields are white already unto harvest. People are responding to the gospel when they hear it. The promise is in Romans 15, verse 20, they that have not heard will hear and respond. Let's preach him where he hasn't been named. Amen. They're waiting. Turn with me to Matthew 9, keeping your place in 1 Samuel. Matthew 9. Maybe these are some familiar verses when it comes to missions and going and working. But too many are just at ease in Zion. We're just enjoying the blessings that God has provided for us. We're secure with where we're at. We're secure with our future. And Lord, don't ask too much of me. I went to church Sunday morning. And maybe I'll go Wednesday night. Maybe I'll go Sunday night. Is he Lord of your life? Or is this just a selfish gospel that you have entered into an agreement with the Lord where I get all of the blessings? What about him? How can we bless Him? How can we bring Him the honor and glory that is due His name? By yielding our life to the work. Don't say, preacher, that's not for me. Yes, it is for you. It's for all of us if you're saved. Matthew 9, verse 36 through 38, but when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them. Think of the multitudes. Let's have the mind of Christ. Let's have compassion on them too. You know what was, quick side note here. Look up here if you may. You know what's difficult when you first go? Is you have to learn to love these people.
Yes.
You see, David loved those people. He loved his wives. That's why he was so grieved, and that's why they wept so sore, and that's why he went after them. You'll have to learn to love them if you want to reach them. And you have to show them the love of Christ. There's a great big light right here. But it needs to be spread out into that darkness. We need to have compassion on those multitudes that are still in darkness. He said that he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Why? Because they're too busy building their own kingdom. They're too busy doing their own thing. Their priorities are all wrong. God does not have the preeminence in their life. Me, myself, and I have first place. Laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. Amen. Be willing. Just be willing. I'm not even telling you to be able. God can make you able if you are willing. If you take that step and say, here am I, Lord, send me. He'll make you usable. There's no laborers. Don't say you're too old. Don't say you're too young. Amen. We have too many examples in the Bible of those that answered to the cause. Moses, was he old? Caleb, was he old? They were all told to do a great mission, a great work later in life. Listen, your best days are still ahead of you if you're saved. Amen. Don't say you're too young either. We have examples of Samuel and David. Yield your life to His service. Serve God today. Young people, yield now. Make up your mind. Listen, what you see on the TV or what you see on the internet, all that glitters is not gold. And the glamorous lifestyle of chasing after that which is vanity has no substance. It will not bring the satisfaction you're looking for if you're saved. Serve God. Yield now, train now, pray now, study now. God will use you. Take your missions trip, amen. God will change your life. Listen, make yourself usable. If there's sin in your life, clean it up. Get prepared. Prepare today for tomorrow. You don't know what tomorrow holds, what God may ask of you, so let's get ready today. Let's start memorizing Scripture today. Let's start praying for our missionaries today. Let's have an open heart to hear what God will say. You say, I'm not called. Well, then listen and answer to the call when it comes. You say, I'm not available. Make yourself available. Free yourself from those entanglements. Listen, if you have compassion in your heart and you want the mind of Christ and you want to fulfill the first and great commandment, which is love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, and the second, which is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself, how are we to love them? Take the gospel to them, amen. Just do something. Do something. Don't say no to God. He didn't say no to you when you needed Him. He said yes. When you were grieving because of the condition you were in, He said yes. He came to you, amen. We need to go to them. Are you willing? Are you ready? God, number one, is looking for a man of surrender. Surrender. Just wave up that white flag. God, I know I have ideas and plans of what I think I want to be and what I think I want my life to look like down the road. But I want your will first and foremost. If you're older, you've already seen what you've done with your life. Let's give the rest to God. Amen. I know a missionary. I believe you guys support him. He was a pastor for 30-something years, 60, mid-60s, went and left to go to the mission field. You're never too old. You're never too young. You just need to be willing to go, amen? He's looking for you. Hold your place there in 1 Samuel. Turn to Ezekiel 22. Ezekiel 22, listen, God's looking for a man. He's looking for a man of surrender. This is your life's mission. Surrender your heart to God. Fulfill His will on the field that He would have you to go to. Again, if it's here at home, then whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do with all thy might. Claim this town for God, amen? Claim that block, that street you live on for God. Claim that school you go to for God. Start sharing the gospel. Just do your part. God will do His, amen? Not telling you to save all these folks. That's God's job. But our job is to surrender and share with them. He'll do His part, amen? And you'll see people saved. Ezekiel 22 and verse 30, what does the Bible say? And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. God's looking for a man. But He's finding none. Why? Because they're too consumed with their work, they're too consumed with their hobbies, they're too consumed with themselves, with their families, to be consumed with Him. Consume yourself with Him. Your family will follow, amen? Consume yourself with Him, and the things of this life will grow dim. Set your affection on things above, not on things of this earth, the Bible says. Listen, you've been saved. Now surrender your life. Be open to the call. See the vision. Hear the voice. And go. Present yourself to Him. Get something today. Respond to Him. What is your purpose? What are you doing with your life? Are you willing to stand in that gap and make up the hedge and say, here am I, Lord, use me. I want this spot right here, Lord. Use me. Surrender no matter the cost. Count it all but dung. Hazard your life for others. These are all biblical truths, amen? There's verses in the Bible for all of these. Be willing to face rejection, persecution, fatigue. Your Lord did. Remember, He's our example. Just look to Him. He left glory. We can leave Kentucky. We can leave Indiana, Ohio, wherever you may be from. The apostles did. Our forefathers did. Take my life and let it be, as we sing. It'll be worth it when you see the captives set free. But you have to go. You have to go. You have to surrender. Turn with me to Mark chapter 10, please. Mark chapter 10. Is there too great of a sacrifice we could make for the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, well, I'll die for my Lord. Live for Him, amen. You'll find that a little more difficult, day in and day out, yielding your life to Him, sacrificing the things of this life for Him. If He calls you to sell home, land, possessions, what is it? It's going to get burnt up anyways in the end. God's got something better for you beyond the grave. Mark 10 and verse 28, look what the Bible says. Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that have left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my sake in the Gospels, but he shall receive 100-fold. Now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. God's got something better for you today. Just be open to seeing it. Be open to something bigger than yourself. Something greater than yourself. Not only is God looking for a man of surrender, one who will just give himself full and free, lock, stock, and barrel, as we say, hook, line, and sinker, with no reserves, no regrets, no retreats, nothing held back as we yield our life to Him. Just surrender. It's so liberating to just surrender to God. God, I give you my plans. I give you my life. I give you my will. Mold me and make me into the person you want me to be. We see not only is it a man of surrender that needs to go, but this man of surrender is on a mission of soul winning, amen. That's the purpose we go. We're not going to do humanitarian efforts. Listen, these people are so poor where we live, but our money can only help them temporarily. We need to share the gospel with them so they can be saved eternally. Yes, money can do a lot in foreign lands, but that's not what they need the most. Yes, we can build buildings and bring and give gifts and help in a great way with money, but first and foremost, they need the gospel. We're going there to share the gospel. We're going to those who maybe have never heard. We're going to the regions beyond where there may be no Bibles and there may be no churches. And we're going to go and we're going to bring Bibles and plant churches. God may want you to do that. Be open to it, please. It's time to do the work of an evangelist, a biblical evangelist. Let's not just say, preacher, we're just going to stick here by the stuff and we're going to let somebody else go and do that because I just don't have the personality to kind of talk to people. Hey, listen, I don't even speak Spanish. I'm trying to learn. But you know, I still have a voice when I can hand them a gospel tract. I still have a voice when I can show them love and compassion and a friendly smile. God can give you a voice too. Listen, we go so we can see some saved. What's your life's mission? What's your life's verse? Whatever we can to save some. Let's do it today. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. You don't have to wait till you turn 18, young person. You don't have to wait until you have a missions conference. You don't have to wait until revival time. God can speak to your heart today. He can call you today. And mother, don't be afraid. Don't hold on to that child. Don't put doubts in that child's head. If that's what God wants for their life, if that's God's will for their life, let them fulfill it. It may be a dangerous land. There may be persecution. But the glory of souls saved will resound throughout all eternity. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 19. Paul speaking, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." Whatever it takes, wherever you have to go, whatever you have to do, to see some saved. Just be faithful. As your pastor and I were looking at the missions board back there, I took a picture. I love looking at boards filled with missionary letters. Those are real people on the field, needing support, needing prayer, needing partnership, needing laborers. And some are doing a great work. Some are seeing hundreds saved in their time on the field, however long it may be, and seeing churches started. Some may still be struggling working with a few. But they're faithful to God's call. They're bringing God the glory. Be challenged this morning, Christians. Seek to save the lost no matter the cost, just like our Lord Jesus Christ did. We need a man of surrender first and foremost on a mission of soul winning with the message of salvation, preaching repentance and faith through the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to go with the truth of the gospel to open the eyes of the blind and to turn them from darkness unto light, that faith which comes by hearing may be heard among them. We need to go and preach Christ and Him crucified and buried and rising again the third day. We need to go and show them their need for Him, that they're lost and dead in trespasses and sins. They're captive and their only help is Him. Do you know the gospel this morning? Do you know how to share the gospel? That's the message we bring, the message of salvation, the message of reconciliation, that with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We need to let them know that there was a man who lived a sinless life, the Lord Jesus Christ, and He died a substitutionary death on their behalf. That He suffered great anguish and pain because we have sinned. And if we but just believe, we can be saved. Listen. Foreigner who worships a heathen idol, who doesn't know the name of Jesus Christ, he can be saved if he'll just but repent and believe the gospel. But he needs to hear. We need to bring that message. How shall they hear without a preacher? Amen. They need to be freed from their captivity. They need to understand that there's forgiveness of sins, that there's no more condemnation, if they'll put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the message that needs to be on our lips. Again, whether we're going across land and sea or whether we're staying here by the stuff at home, we have neighbors, we have friends, we have family, we have co-workers, we have people in the community. If you belong to some sports team, you have team members. They need the gospel. Can't talk to them, if you don't have time, if you're scared, a track can talk to them, amen? Invite them to the church service. Let the preacher preach to them, amen? So they can be saved. Is this for you? Are you willing? Can God change your heart and turn it towards a greater mission in life to go? We have incurred the responsibility to respond. What is your will? Is it His way? You say, well, I'm just not called. Okay. I understand that. Many are not called, or I'm not qualified. You can still help too, amen. 200 tarried by the stuff back there in our text. Just like an army that's on the field, they have a base back home and a communications that can send support and relief to them while they're on the field and supplies. That comes by way of prayer and giving, right? We can participate still by sending and giving to the greater cause. And that can be our mission. We can say today, Lord, though I cannot go, I'm going to give to go. I'm going to work hard. And I'm going to sacrifice just as they have sacrificed. I may deny myself some things so that I can have a little extra to put in the missions fund. So that a man can go. So that Bibles can be purchased, so that tract can be purchased, so that a motorcycle can be purchased, so that little things can be taken care of for those on the front line. We're laboring together for the cause of Christ. Yes, some are laboring abroad, some are laboring at home. We need to be militant about it either way, amen? Because there's something for all of us. There's something for all of us. Just like the man on the front line in the field, the man that does not go, he has to surrender also. Because there's a lot that glitters over here in the States. There's a lot of things clamoring for our time and our attention and our treasure. And if we're not focused as they are focused on what our responsibility is, we just won't do it. So listen, today pray, Lord, what will Thou have me to do? How much? How often? Who can I pray for today, Lord? Whose mission card can I grab and think of them? Whose letter can I read and pray for them? 2 Corinthians, please, chapter 8. Just a few more passages. 2 Corinthians, chapter 8. You see, you're on a mission too, amen? And though you're not boots on the ground, nonetheless, you're still a vital role and very important. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Macedonia was willing. They were willing to give, but we must understand, if you're going to go, you have to be willing to give of yourself. If you're going to give and if you're going to pray, you have to surrender to yourself. Look here, 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 through 3. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. They were willing. Okay, you want me to go? I'll go. They were willing. Okay, I can't go. I can give to those that are going. I can give to this greater cause. Every believer has been given gifts and abilities to be used in God's service, and according to our faith and our opportunity, we must use them. What has God given you? What has He gifted you with? How much faith do you have to be used in the Lord's work? You may be called to make some sacrifices for those who have gone on ahead. You may be asked to spend a little less on yourself to help those that have gone on ahead. You may have some late nights in prayer for a missionary that's in a great need because you read his letter earlier that day and it touched your heart. Others can be blessed because of your sacrifice. Listen, I'm living proof and I'm standing right in front of you. You have blessed me through your faithful monthly support. It allows me to be on the field reaching those that you cannot. And the extra offering that was sent, that helped in such a great way. Not everybody responds when those letters go out when somebody needs some help. But you guys responded. That helped. Thank you. God will bless you because of it. And He's blessed me because of it. God may ask you to go without this or that. There's no different than those on the field. They're going without things too. But it's making a difference in people's lives. Your love to God and man responds to His plea. Will you be a man of support? There's the man of surrender who goes with the mission of soul winning, preaching the message of salvation. He's on the front line, and those on the back, they're nonetheless still a man of surrender also. They're a man of support. Whether it's money, whether it's material, giving through your local church to the cause of worldwide missions, laying up for yourself treasures in heaven. Your gifts are taking part in your reward. You're paying the way. It's God's way, amen. And know this, you have promises, just as the missionary on the front line has promises. Let's look at one or two more verses. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. In Philippians chapter 4, we see that God can supply and God will supply. Philippians 4, starting in verse 15. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. He understood that it was a sacrifice. He understood this. Verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Have you experienced that promise? All your needs can be met when you seek Him first and seek His kingdom. God can supply. God will supply. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. It's more blessed to give than to receive. 2 Corinthians 8, turn there. It proves our love for the Father. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 8 and 9. The Bible says this, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. How do we prove it? He's talking about giving in this passage. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes, He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. What do I have to do, Lord? What can I sell? How can I work? What can I do? Just ask the questions. And He'll lay it on your heart. And He'll tell you what to do. And God always provides, amen. Our proving will be God's provision, and you'll enter in a whole new realm of faith. Jesus told that blind man, according to your faith be it unto you. What are you willing to believe God can do? Don't limit Him this morning. Pay the way, pray the way, supplicate for them. Paul is found saying in more than three places, brethren, pray for us. Pray for an open door. Pray for the spread of the word. Pray for boldness and courage. Go give, pray, amen. What category are you in this morning? As much as we think about those that are abroad that need to hear the gospel, some here this morning may need to hear the gospel. Some here may have not yet responded to the command that ye must be born again. That you're dead in trespasses and sins. That you need forgiveness. And it's only in the Lord Jesus Christ. That you must exercise faith in Him, believing the gospel to be saved. You can do just that today. If God speaks to your heart, respond. Just as you respond, He can save. Amen. He's more than able. He's more than willing. Listen, time's running out. There's no labors physically. There's no labors financially. There's no labors prayerfully. Let our labor not be in vain, but let's give it to the Lord. What is the price of a soul? What is it worth to you? What sacrifice is too great to give? Will you answer God's call? Will you today know Him and make Him known? I pray that if God has spoken to your heart, He's challenged you by these Scripture passages here and the parallel, and we didn't read all of the verses of Scripture there in that passage, but that you would just say, Lord, what will Thou have me to do? It's very simple. We ask others, what do you want me to do, preacher? What do you want me to do, boss? What do you want me to do, mom and dad? Well, but what am I not? Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, what will Thou have me to do? And then listen for the answer. Amen. Pastor, if you'd come forward. Let's go ahead and stand. At this time, if God has spoken to your heart, you can have the opportunity to respond. There's an altar here. If you can't make it to the altar, you can stay in your seat. Just respond to God. Just be open to what He has for you. Don't think about the cost. Just keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, Father in heaven, thank You, Lord, for the Word of God. Thank You for the commands that You've given us and how we can respond and how privileged we are to take part in missions locally and abroad. I ask this morning that You have spoken to somebody's heart, that a seed has been planted by Your Word that will one day bloom into everything that You would have that individual to be. Father, may we catch a hold of a vision and endeavor to go. May Your people respond to the great need. And Lord, for those here that have not yet responded to the gospel, would You show them the cross of Calvary? Would You show them the great love that was commended towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us? Thank You for all that You've done and all that You will do in this service. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.